Okay, great. All right, so what I'll do is I'll get started, and then later what I want to make sure you do is ask whatever questions that you have and make sure that you get something out of the call. So it is now 8:04 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on, let's see, what month is this? This is February 1st, 2013, and welcome to the Turn Your Passion into Profit, Achievable Freedom teleconference. My name is Walt Goodridge. Okay. I'm the author of Turn Your Passion into Profit. And I'm really excited about this call because I always get charged up when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing what I came here on the planet to be doing. And I think that's true for a lot of people. I think people do get excited, get charged up, get more motivation when they're doing the thing that they're supposed to be doing. And I'll talk more about that later in terms of finding your purpose. But that's one of the key ingredients that I advocate, is that you find out your purpose, and that automatically gives life more meaning, more excitement, and more passion. I'm also excited about this call because I have no idea what's going to happen. It's, you know, when I do the workshops, they're usually 3 hours long. They're rooms of anywhere from 20 to 50 to 100 people. Every room is different. The energy is different. The people who are there have different needs, different requests. So you never know exactly what's going to happen, but I can say this, that whatever does happen today is going to be a function of your participation. So I'd like you to really think about what it is you would like to get from this call. Now, from my point of view, my goal is simply to share some concepts, share some information, inspiration and ideas, and possibly some detailed instructions to help you get from point A to point B and answer some questions, address some concerns. So that's my particular goal, to give a few specific leads that can help you take you to the next step, whatever you decided that next step is. Now, from your point of view, obviously, if you're on this call, it means that you have something that you'd like to achieve, something specific that you want to get out of the call. So I'm going to suggest to you that during the course of this call that you get at least one specific question written down and thought about this, and the specific question is, what is holding you back? What do you think is holding you back from taking the next step in the journey of whatever it is you want to achieve, whether it's achieving a certain amount of freedom, whether it's turning your passion into profit, whether it's becoming a nomadpreneur, traveling, whatever it is, there is some specific thing that you want to get out of this call in your life in general. So think about what that is and make sure that this call does not end before you ask that question, because otherwise it won't be of any value, or it will be of more value to you if you can get that particular question answered. So in the process of doing that, you could either just interrupt me as I'm talking, and that's no problem. You can just maybe press a button on your phone so I'll know that someone wants to ask a question, and then I'll stop and you can ask a specific question, or you can email walt@passionprofit.com. I have my laptop open right in front of me, so if you don't want to actually speak over the phone, the lines are open, but if you don't want to speak, you can email a question. I'll check my email periodically during the next 45 minutes, and I'll answer specific questions. But I'd really like you to participate and ask specific questions, because that tells me a lot about who you are. I get to the direction of the evening will go specific to the needs of the individuals on the call. So with that said, let me tell you a little bit about myself and how I got to be here in this position. Now, like a lot of people, I ended up working for a living, working in corporate America, and I graduated from college with a degree in civil engineering. And for those of you who don't know, a civil engineer is someone who designs roadways and bridges and tunnels. And I graduated and I got a job working at the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. And the Port Authority is the organization that handles any means of access into the New York area. So the ports, the airports, the seaport, they have the bus terminal as well. So a very large organization, and I worked as a civil engineer, an associate civil engineer, on the 73rd floor of the World Trade Center number 1. And I actually ended up doing that for 7 years right after I graduated from school. But I realized within the first 15 minutes of my first day on my first job in corporate America, I realized beyond the shadow of a doubt that I absolutely hated it. I hated it, and I didn't like the people I was working with. I didn't like what I was doing. I only ended up in engineering because my counselor in high school said, "Walt, you're good in math and science. You need to be an engineer, and you need to go to Columbia." She had high aspirations for me. My grades were good, so she made me apply to Columbia University, and I got in, and I graduated. But again, it wasn't a profession that I really chose on my own. And once I got into college, I only chose engineering, civil engineering, because I didn't like mechanical engineering, electrical engineering. That seemed to be just one that I hated the least, but I did it. And this isn't to say anything disparaging or bad about engineering in general or working in corporate America. I mean, for some people, that is their dream. For some people, that represents them living their purpose. So there's nothing wrong with it per se. But for me, I realized that it wasn't where I felt the most useful, felt the most fulfilled, felt like I was making a good contribution. So for me, working in corporate America was just not the thing. And I realized years later that it wasn't so much working at the Port Authority that I didn't like. It was really the concept of working for someone else. And I realize that now looking back. So, I took out my frustration on the job, but it wasn't really the job specifically. It was the whole concept of working for a living, the whole concept of someone else deciding what my time was worth. And essentially, that is what I was doing. I was trading my time for money. I was making about $50,000 a year at the time, and I'm essentially trading my time for money. Because essentially, they can get anyone else to do the job that I was doing. I mean, admittedly, I got to tell you the truth, I wasn't the best civil engineer. That's because, my heart wasn't in it. So essentially, if they can get anyone else to do what I'm doing, then all I'm doing is just really filling a space and selling my time to this company. And I realize now that my time is the most valuable thing that I have. And seeing it slip away every day, coming into work to a job that I didn't like, realizing that this was time that I would never, ever get back, and I was miserable and I didn't like it. I felt like a piece of my soul was dying each day that I went into work. I realized that, I just didn't like that concept of the whole concept of working for a living. Or working at something that I, that I didn't enjoy. So I started to look around, started to ask myself, what was my passion? What is it that I really would rather be doing? I would spend my days sitting at the computer on the 73rd floor, and I would look down out on the street in the Wall Street area, Lower Manhattan, and I would see people milling about, tourists and different people just walking around, and I felt like, they had the freedom to be out in the middle of the day and do what they wanted, and that's what I wanted. I wanted to be out in the middle of the day so I could go see a movie in the middle of the day if that's what I wanted to do. I wanted freedom. Freedom was the thing that was really driving me. So I started to ask, what is it that I really enjoyed doing? And I looked to music, because when I was in college, I did a radio show for 4 or 5 years, reggae radio show, and I really enjoyed that. So I looked to the music industry, and eventually I started designing album covers for an artist that I met at the radio station, and then eventually moved on to managing his group, and then moved on to starting a record label with him and a partner. So the three of us started a label, record label, producing his music, and then eventually things didn't work out there, and I moved on and started my own record label and had a fair amount of success. I was the label for some of my friends who were rappers, and we put out their music in the early 90s and had a fair amount of success. And so much, in fact, we didn't make $1 million, but the records were in stores. We got played on BET, Black Entertainment Television. Product was selling in Japan. And I got a call. This is where things started to take a different turn. I got a call from a fellow who had seen my records, my company's records in the store, and he got the number of the vinyl record, and he called up and he said, I'm a struggling artist, can you help me, tell me how you were able to get your record in the store? And at the time, I was, doing my regular 9-to-5 job, and I had my record label on the side, And this was one day on a weekend. So, you know, I ended up talking to this fellow for about an hour, and I gave him all sorts of valuable information about distribution, about getting his music out. And he said at the end of this call, "Wow, you know, Mr. Goodridge, I really appreciate all of the information you gave me. I would have been willing to pay you for it if you had asked me." And then a light bulb went on, and I said, "How much would you have been willing to pay?" And he said, and I remember this number exactly, he said, "I don't know, $179. And I don't know where he pulled that number out from, but that's the number he said. And it just made something click in my mind. And at that moment, I realized, this was in the early 90s, that there was no codified information to show young musicians, young hip-hop entrepreneurs, how to start their own record label. And I decided right then and there, right at that phone call, that what I was going to do was to actually sit down and write a book to show step by step basically everything I had just discussed with this fellow over this call and more, and provide information and provide details and provide contact information and distribution companies and all the information that I had gathered running my record label, you know, out of my apartment. And I sat down, and without any journalism experience, without any writing background, I decided that I was going to write a book. And no one told me that you can't write a 250-page book in 4 weeks, so that's what I did. I sat down, and every day after work, I would come home and type at my computer and fall asleep on the keyboard and wake up and type some more. And eventually, over the course of 4 weeks, I put together a book, and I went to Kinko's and photocopied it, and I took it to a music industry event in Atlanta, the Jack the Rapper music industry event, this was years ago, and debuted it there and handed out flyers for this book that I was selling, this manual that I was selling for $69, and I handed out these flyers that had an order form on the bottom, and the conference lasted a weekend, and then I flew back to New York from Atlanta, and by the time I got back to New York, about a day later, a check showed up. A check for $69 showed up in my mailbox. Now, this was before the days of the internet. This was, I wrote this book in 92. So before the internet came around, it was a mail order company, and someone had sent a check, and that was my first check. And after that, more checks started rolling in. And within a few months, I was matching my income selling this book, which at the time only existed in one copy. When I had debuted it in Atlanta, it was only one copy that existed. It wasn't a book, you know, like it is now with a real cover and spine. It was just a photocopied manual with, you know, binding. So within a couple months, I sold a couple hundred copies and eventually printed it in real book form, found a printer at the time, printed up, you know, 500 or 1,000 copies, and I was able to match my civil engineering income. Now, I'm still working at my job. It's about going on to the sixth year now, working in corporate America. Now I have a mail order publishing company, and I'm checking my mailbox every day, and checks are showing up, and I'm making about $4,000 or $5,000 every month just from the checks showing up in my mailbox. And at the same time, I'm making about $4,000, $5,000 a month as a civil engineer. So I'm going to repeat that, and I'm going to put this in perspective for you. I went to school for 4 years to get a civil engineering degree, and I was making about $50,000 a year as a civil engineer at a job that I hated. I wrote a book in 4 weeks with no journalism background, no writing experience, and I was making about $50,000 a year selling this book by advertising it with classified ads in a music industry magazine. And now I have a decision to make, and I still couldn't bring myself to quit my job. And I realized that what was holding me back was fear. I had fear of actually quitting my job and, you know, thinking that the bottom would just fall out of my business. But eventually, I joined a network marketing company at the same time, and to make a long story not too much longer anymore, eventually I got to the point where I got the courage to quit my job, jumped out on my own, and have been a full-time entrepreneur ever since 95, which is August 5th, 1995, which is when I quit my job at the Port Authority. Now, I can fill in the details later on, but again, this is a shortened version of my workshop, but essentially, I realized that what I had done was turn my passion for writing into profit. I was able to actually leave corporate America, quit my job, jump out on my own based on something that I had done, the sales of a single book that I had written. And I then decided to put that knowledge, things that I had learned, into a book form, and years later wrote more books and eventually came up with the concept, the turn your passion into profit concept. And that's what I've been doing ever since, is helping people to understand what I believe it takes in order to turn your passion into profit, and I'll get into some of those details a little bit more. So that's my story, and the reason I tell that story is specifically to let you know how I did it so that you know that it is possible. What I have learned over the years is, you know, there's only so much that I can, information, inspiration, and ideas that I can impart. And, you know, there's tons of people providing information on how to start your own business. There's lots of inspiring stories out there. There's tons of ideas that you can launch into to start your own business, to jump out on your own. So what I've realized over the years is that what's actually holding people back more than anything else is simply their belief level. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you've not known somebody who's quit their job and become a passionpreneur, if you don't have a history of people running their own business in your family, then it might be hard for you to see yourself doing that. If you don't have close friends or mentors who can actually do it, then it might be difficult for you to make that transition. So what I've realized over the years doing coaching and workshops is that the single most important thing that I can do for people is simply represent a reality that exists. So now you know someone who's actually done it. There are people who I worked with at the Port Authority who are still there at their jobs for whatever reason. And, you know, the reality of what I just shared with you, it's not a fanciful story that you're watching on TV. This is my real life. This is the things that I did, the school that I went to, the job that I had, the decisions that I made, the things that I did. And it is possible. So now I've been a full-time entrepreneur since 95, and I've taken that turn your passion into profit concept and evolved it some more and created some more aspects to it, like the nomadpreneur concept. And what I do now, through this call and other means, the books and the workshop, is to help people overcome whatever belief might be holding them back from taking the next step. So with that said, before I move on to the next point that I'd like to share with you, I do want to open it up if anyone has any questions or concerns. And it can be anything at all. You can ask any particular question. The only question that I won't answer is how old I am. But otherwise, you can ask any question at all. Okay. So if you do want to talk and you have a question, you'll have to press *6 to unmute your line so that you can ask a question. That's the star key and then 6, and then I'll be able to hear your question. All right. So now I hope you had a chance to check out some of the free ebooks that I've been using to promote this call.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, how are you today?
Excellent.
Thank you. First, I want to say thank you so much. I just found out about you. But I have a question. I just turned 25 today. Like, today is my birthday, and I'm just so glad that I could be on this call. Just as a young man, I'm at a job that is kind of like when you first started working at Portability. It's just I work mentoring with students, and even though I like it, It's not where I want to be. We're getting paid, I think Les Brown described it, they pay you just enough to stay, you do just enough work to keep the job. Yeah, I have a question as far as finding a passion. I've had people tell me that I'm specifically good at rapping and speaking to people. I have a YouTube, and I do positive rapping, I do cooking. It's like I'm trying to do it all, but as far as focusing on something and truly finding my passion, how do I know when it's my passion, and do you think some of the first steps that I would take just as far as trying to move away from the 9-to-5? Because I've written some ebooks, but I haven't been marketing. It's like I don't know really know where to start because this is so many things.
Okay, no problem. That's an excellent question. I do get that question a lot. In the book that I have called Turn Your Passion into Profit, there's a four-step process that I outline in terms of how to discover your passion and turn it into profit. So I'm going to go over that now very briefly. You can take some notes. And here's where I would start. Now, if I were coaching you, one of the first questions that I would ask you is, what do you think your purpose is on the planet? Now, let me just go through the four steps quickly first, and then I'll ask you one of those questions. It all hinges on you realizing, as you have, you've realized that, you know, you're working with kids now, and it is something good, it is something noble, but it doesn't feel like you're being fulfilled. So the question is, why are you here? If you had to think about, if you believed, as I do, that you chose to come here on this planet, you chose to be here, you chose to manifest in this particular form at this particular time with this particular set of talents on this particular, in this particular country, wherever you have ended up. This was a choice that you made. Your soul made a choice to manifest here on this plane at this time with a certain set of skills that are yours to accomplish a particular mission. It is not random that you are here. You are here to fulfill a particular purpose. What would that purpose be? If you had to answer, why are you here? In the book, I discuss four different types of purpose. One is a creator, a savior, a guru, or a guide. A creator is someone who's an artist, someone who's creating something that didn't exist before. So you might be an author, you might be a writer, a painter, a musician. A savior is someone who's here to heal and fix things or people or systems. A guru is someone who's here to teach. And a guide would be more somebody, might be somebody you can think of like a Martin Luther King or even an Oprah or someone who's moving society in a big way from one consciousness to another. So, and there are different types of guides, you know, ways that the guide can manifest itself. And I don't want you to get too hung up on the specifics of the definition. But if you had to put yourself as a creator, a savior, a guru, or a guide, where do you think you would fall? And even with just that bare minimum of a description, where do you think you would fall as a creator, a savior, a guru, or a guide?
I would feel that I would say a creator.
Okay, cool. Now, the next step, once you discover what your purpose is, once why you are here, you're here as a creator, what you find in life, and I've always found this to be true with as many people as I've coached, is that your passion helps you fulfill your purpose. All right? Now, your passion are the things that you're good at. The passions are the things that other people may tell you you're good at. Your passions are the things you were good at when you were younger that you put to the side once you started going to school or starting to become an adult. Your passion are the things that you dream about doing or contributing to society. The passions are the things that you have a natural talent for without ever being taught. I gave you my example of being able to sit and share information in a logical, sequential way without ever being taught how to write a book. So that's a natural talent that I had as a guru. The other thing that you might start to realize is if you look at your history, the things that you've always been drawn to, the things that you've always been attracted by, the things that you've always gravitated towards, will help give you an idea of what your passion is and what your purpose is. So in my case, for example, as I look back on my life, I was always tutoring other kids in school, in high school as well as college. Even in elementary school, I was, you know, helping the teacher grade the other kids' papers. So if you're unclear, for those who are listening on the call who might be unclear about what their purpose or passion is, you can look to the things that you've always been drawn to, the things that you've always felt needed fixing in our society, or the types of art or creative endeavors that have always attracted you. Because, you know, not everyone has a desire to play the piano or to write or to sing or to draw. So those things that are bubbling up through you, the things that you've always been attracted to, those, that's an indication of a talent, a latent talent that's bubbling up inside of you. So you're here as a creator. What is the thing that you are here to create?
I feel like one of the things that I've is to speak, you know, is to be a voice. You know, I see that there's a lot of people appreciate what I have to say, because I can say a lot of things that other people might not be able to articulate and make it simple. That's easy for other people to understand.
Okay.
So I can do that through writing and speaking.
Okay. Give me the topic. Give me the topic that you feel most qualified to speak on and create. Is it math? Is it how to buy a house? Is it how to, you know, manage your taxes? Is it how to get better at relationships? What is the topic area that you feel is your calling to do that speaking and that sharing?
I feel like my calling is teaching people to believe in themselves, you know, showing people who they are, meaning that they're capable.
Got a little disconnected there. Punch a number on your phone just to let me know that you guys are hearing me, okay? Okay, great. Okay, so I was speaking to a gentleman. I purposely didn't ask your name in case you wanted to remain anonymous, but you were saying that you feel you are here to share information to help people believe in themselves. Okay, we may have lost him. So I'll continue. So after you've determined your purpose, why you're here on the planet, and you discover what your passion is, let's say you're good at writing or you're good at cooking or you enjoy cooking, you'll find that your passion is what actually helps you fulfill your purpose. The question that the caller had asked is how to isolate what his passion is and then take the next step. Usually what happens, and he mentioned this in his original question, is that, you know, people have multiple passions, and one of the things that often paralyzes people is choosing which passion to pursue. Now, I believe that it becomes easier if you take the process that I've outlined. You take, first figure out what your purpose is, and then it'll make it actually a little bit easier to determine what passion to pursue in order to fulfill that purpose. So I'll give you an example. So let's suppose you are here as a guru, and you realize that you have a passion for cooking. And you talk to your best friend, and your best friend says, hey, you have a passion for cooking, then it makes sense that you should start your own restaurant. And you start your own restaurant, and then things kind of get boring after a while, and you lose the passion, and you close your restaurant, and you think you're a failure. Okay. So what I would do is advise you a little bit differently. So if you came to me and you said, hey, Walt, I have a passion for cooking, what should I do? I would first find out what your purpose is. And as I said, let's suppose you are a guru. You decide, you realize that you get the most satisfaction and the most thrill from actually teaching and sharing information. So at that point, I would advise you, rather than start your own restaurant as a guru, you take that passion for cooking and instead create a video to show people how to cook, or open up a cooking school, or, you know, teach classes to stay-at-home moms or something, and, you know, how to prepare meals or whatever. There'll be specifics about that particular passion, whether it's a particular ethnic type of cuisine, whether it's vegetarian cooking or whatever it is, but there is something. Rather than starting a restaurant, which would not give you the thrill of fulfilling your purpose as a guru, I would advise you to start something that would allow you to fulfill that purpose by doing something that's aligned with cooking, but is centered on the teaching aspect. All right, so there's so much more to that whole concept of finding the right passion, finding the right expression so that you can fulfill your purpose. Then the next step, so we've got purpose and we've got passion. The next step is product. You've got to find the right product that's a manifest, that's an expression of that passion combined with that purpose. And it might be a book, it might be a video, it might be coaching, consulting, a CD, it could be any number of things, but you then need to find a way to put that knowledge, that expertise, that passion, that interest, that talent into a product that people can actually purchase. And in the book, Turn Your Passion into Profit, I go into more detail in terms of what the best expression of your product is. One of the best ways these days with the changing in the publishing industry is for you to actually write a book, write an e-book, and market it, your product. That way, use YouTube to actually promote it in video form. So there are many different ways that you can actually create a product that's an expression of your passion. And then the final step is how to market it for profit. And the profit part is how you market it, how you get it online, how you sell it in stores, how you let the world become aware of your product so that you can, so that they can purchase it. So the four steps are purpose, passion, product, and finally profit. We're coming up to 8:40 right now, so technically there are only about 5 more minutes left in the call. So again, I would suggest that if you have any specific question that you think is to be answered in order to move to the next step in turning your own passion into profit, something that's been on your mind, something that's been bothering you, definitely ask it now.
Hello?
And yes.
Yes, I have a question about the...
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, about the choices of love. I guess I'm at a crossroads with my life about that.
Okay, so I want to make sure I heard you correctly. So what's your specific question? What is the thing that's troubling you? What's the specific?
Choosing love to better, I guess, love myself, to make better choices in a mate, and believing I'm capable of being a good provider, a good man.
Okay. I think I hear an interesting question there, but I'm going to push you a little bit more.
Okay.
What I would like you to do is answer,
okay.
Are you in a relationship right now?
I was in a serious relationship, and seriously, it was a very good relationship, but she left town. She left the state.
Then
got into another relationship with a friend. It didn't become serious, but feelings developed. And my first relationship called me and said she really cares for me, she loves me and wants me back. My heart
All right.
wants
so,
her.
let me cut you off for a second.
Okay.
Now, the reason I think this is a really interesting question, and I hope that the answer I'm going to give you is helpful. Now, I can't specifically give you any love and relationship advice.
Yeah.
However,
yeah.
I think this brings up a very, very critical component that I'm going to just talk about really informally.
Okay.
I believe that, you know, we've been talking about turning your passion into profit, achieving a certain amount of freedom.
Yes.
One of the things that I believe strongly about and that I actually write about in one of the books, it's called 7 Steps to Freedom.
Yes, okay.
And I also have an interesting, I believe it's an interesting book called If You Want to Be My Girlfriend. If you go to a website called DexterStyle.com, DexterStyle, there's a book, and you can download a good chunk of the first chapter or so about relationships. And the reason why I think this is important, I'm going to mention two things about relationships that I have found over the years when I've coached people. And one of them is this. I believe, part of the belief system that I have, and I talk about it in Search of a Better Belief System, is that the universe is perfect. And we live in a supportive universe. And what I mean by that is when you decide on a particular goal in life, things start to happen that bring you closer to that goal. So let me just let you digest that for a second. When you decide that you want something better in life, something more out of life, things start to happen that bring that goal to you. The challenge in life is that it often doesn't look that way. You know, I've coached so many people who, and when I was involved in a network marketing company, there were so many stories of people who got involved with this company, and just as an aside, I'm talking about companies like Amway and Excel and Mary Kay, network marketing company I was a part of called ACN years ago. And people would invariably come to these business opportunity meetings. They would get excited about the opportunity of starting their own business as a, you know, an independent rep, and they would go home, and the person that they were involved in, their, you know, significant other, whether it's male or female, a lot of times that person wouldn't be on the same page, and they would belittle the aspirations and the dreams that this person had. So, you know, they'd come home and say, hey, I found this great opportunity. We're going to be rich. We're going to, you know, start our own business, and we're going to be successful. And their spouse, you know, would say, oh, all those things don't work. Those pyramids don't work. Or, you know, you're wasting our money or whatever else. But it would happen time after time after time, so much so that they developed a term for it called dream stealers. You know, when you are excited about something, be prepared for the people, the dream stealers, who will start to steal your dreams. Yes. Now, I mention this because a lot of times in relationships, what I have found happens is people grow in different directions, and you decide that you want something different out of life, and you start to have more fights with your significant other. You start to, friends who you were once close with, you start drifting apart from, you start to, your life goes through a reconstruction. And what happens a lot of times is a lot of people don't recognize what's going on, so they actually cling and go back to the way they were so that they can hang on to the relationships that they had, because they don't recognize that in order for you to get from point A to point B, sometimes it's necessary for some of your relationships to be put to the side. And as bad as that may sound, or as frightening as that may sound to some people, that is a reality that often does happen. In the process of you becoming the new you, in the process of you becoming the person who you want to be, it is sometimes necessary that some of the relationships that you are most comfortable with may not be able to make the transition with you. And you have to have the courage and the discipline to, if your goal is what you really want to achieve, you have to have the courage and discipline sometimes to let those relationships go and not use them to define yourself, not use your relationships or the existence of a significant other in your life to define who you are. The second thing that I'd like to say is, just piggybacking on that, which is a lot of people do use their relationships to define themselves before they have actually defined themselves for themselves. So I think that it, to answer your question, finally, how do you become the man that you want to be in order to be a good provider? It's really about defining who you are first. And you've heard this many times. People say it all the time, you can't love somebody else until you love yourself first. And in certain ways, I believe that that is true, in the sense that a lot of people are looking to their relationships to complete them, looking for relationships to fill a void that I believe no relationship can fulfill. Sure, you can have fun and, you know, enjoyment with a significant other, but a lot of people are putting a lot of expectations into finding the right person rather than, as you're saying, being the right person first. So it becomes necessary, I believe, for you to be clear on why you are here. If you are clear on why you are here on the planet, certain people will no longer be options as relationship partners. If you are clear about why you are here on the planet, certain people who show up in your life will immediately stand out to you as, uh-oh, this is a red flag. This is not someone who is on the same page with me, who's going in the same direction. So it makes you clearer about who is best suited for the journey you want to go on.
Yes.
When you are clear about what your passion is, what you are clear about what you are here to do, it makes living, I believe, so much easier. And the people who then become attracted to you and who you are attracted by change significantly. And let's suppose that you decide that, you know, what you're really here to do is to become a cook, become a chef.
Okay.
You made that decision. You decided, hey, I'm here as a creator. I'm going to be a chef. So now you start moving in a whole different direction. You start moving in a whole different circle of people. And as a result, you find people who are more in alignment with who you are, because now you're meeting people who are also maybe in, going to cooking school or being chefs. Also, you meet people who are in entertainment or hospitality. So you start to gravitate towards and attract people of like mind and like mentality. So that was a very long-winded answer to your question.
To be honest with you, that was a good answer. I think I was trying to live through my identity through a relationship that for years I've always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
For years I guess I would say dreamt and wanted God to give me.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm at a certain crossroads in my life, that in the individual came to my life and helped me. But I have to put myself first and realize what I truly want.
Right, right. I would agree with you. And it also, and again, I'm going to push this title that I mentioned, If You Want to Be My Girlfriend. And I titled it a particular way to answer a particular question for men. And I guess if I were a woman, I would have written it a different way. But as a man, I can only write from one perspective. And it's to be clear on your identity as a man and what that means to you. If you are not clear on what masculinity means to you, mm-hmm. not what it means to your church, not what it means to society, not what it means to the 6 o'clock news, not what it means to your mother, but what it means to you, then
yeah.
You need to be clear on that, because then you exude a different confidence. When your sense of masculinity is defined by you and not by what society says, then mm-hmm. you attract people who are much more in alignment with the energy that you're putting out. So
yes,
the reason
law of attraction.
Absolutely. So the reason why it may be difficult to find someone compatible is because you're all over the place. You might
yes.
be 1 minute you're, you know, a man as defined by Oprah. 1 minute you're a man as defined by the 6 o'clock news. 1 minute you're a man defined, you know. So, but to become clear on what that is a necessary first step, because then you're clear on what who you are, what you like, how you define femininity, what you're looking for, and then it becomes much easier to spot the people who are in alignment with you.
Yes.
All right?
Okay, sir.
And
thanks.
I can only give, yeah, no problem. I can only give, as long as that was, that is a short answer in the scheme
well,
of things.
Thank you, because I won't lie to you. I watched your videos online and seen read books, and I talk about freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I am tired of living in a fantasy like world. I want to actually live the life that I want.
Right, right.
And I'm tired of, I don't know, believing that I can never achieve what I want. And it's nice to finally know that I'm finally moving towards steps to make myself free.
Yep, yep, it is doable.
Yes, but it's hard if you, your whole life you never thought you were capable of achieving things, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, technically our call is over, but I'm going to go until 9 o'clock. So the next 7 minutes I'm going to share something specific with you.
Okay.
I believe that, you mind telling me your name? If you don't, you can just make up a name and I'll call.
I'll tell you my name. My name is Trevino.
Trevino, okay.
Yes.
Trevino, anything that you want, you can achieve. And I know that sounds kind of trite and everyone says that, but I'm here to tell you that you can achieve anything that you can fantasize about and that you can dream about, you can achieve if you have two things. The two things that you have to have are courage and discipline. Now, I know that's easier said than done, but this is after years and years of thinking about, you know, and coaching people, there are just two things that you need. Now, I can't tell you where you get them from, but you, if you have the courage to make that first step in the direction of whatever it is you want to achieve, you want to be a cook, you want to be quit your job or you know, become a self-sustaining entrepreneur, you want to find a good relationship, you know, there's some major step in courage that is going to be required. And however you get there, you need to get there. And there's not going to be any, there may not be any safety net, there's not going to be any guarantees. If it were guaranteed, everyone would be doing it.
Yes.
If it were easy, everyone would be where they want to be. So it, by definition, for you to get what you want, it is going to be difficult. All right?
Yes.
If it were easy, everyone would be doing it. So we know it's not easy. So you have to find the courage to take that first step in whatever direction it is, whether it's quitting your job, whether it's, you know, exercising every day, whether it's stop eating meat, and I use specific examples that I may not have time to get into. The second thing after the courage comes the discipline. And by discipline, I mean that you have to commit to doing the thing that you've found the courage to do. You have to commit to doing it over and over and over and continue doing it until you get to where you want to get to, because there's nothing stopping you from getting to the next step. Every journey from point A to point B is just a series of steps. And the only reason, and some people may, it may take 50 steps, some people may take 100 steps, some people may take 1,000 steps, but the journey to get from where you are now to where you get to is a definable, quantifiable series of steps. And if you can do the thing that is necessary to get to the next step, then it's just one step after that and one step after that. But you can't look for it to be easy. It's going to require growth. It's going to require stretching. It's going to require uncertainty. It's going to require doing something that not everyone else is doing. And that's a critical point. Again, if it were easy, everyone would be doing it. So you have to be ready to do the thing that other people are not prepared to do, and to keep doing it even when they laugh at you, even when they say you're going to fail, even when, you know, when I decided to quit my job in corporate America, I told maybe one or two people, but I never told anyone in my immediate family because I knew they wouldn't understand. And, you know, I can understand that, you know, your mom paid good money for you to go to college and then you're now going to quit your job, good job, and go sell books through mail order. You know, it's not the sort of thing that a parent wants to hear. So, but I knew what I was committed to achieving, so I did not share that dream with everybody, because some people, as well-intentioned as they are just not, have not had the experience that they can use to say, okay, well, then you need to do this and then you need to do that. They would more likely fall on the side of fear and caution, you know?
Yes, yes.
So you got to have the discipline now to keep doing it over and over. I had a friend once who asked me, she was married to a fellow who really dreamed of being an entrepreneur, and she asked me for my advice, and she said, how long should I give my husband to follow this entrepreneurial dream before I tell him to get a real job? And I had to explain to her that if he's a real entrepreneur, he is committed to doing this until he becomes successful. This is not something you just try. Oh, I'm going to try and see what this works. I'm going to give myself 4 years, and if it doesn't work, then I'm going to go back. That's not a commitment.
Yes.
That's a hobby. So the decision, when I made the decision to quit corporate America, I knew I was never going back. And I have kept that promise to myself. And I did some temp assignments. At one point I lived in Maryland and I did some temp jobs. But rather than go back and be an engineer, I always committed to moving forward. And even when I got evicted from my apartment on 3 different occasions, even when I had to pawn my bicycle to, you know, to make some money in my $900 bike, and I got like $100, you know, in a pawn shop, I was committed that I was not ever going back. and I would rather sleep on couches, as many friends as I had slept on their couches, and moving forward. So that was me. That was the commitment that I made, and how that manifests in terms of going forward ever, backward never. But that's the discipline that I feel was necessary for me to get to where I wanted to get to. So those are the two things you need. If you have the courage to take that first step and the discipline to keep taking it even when things look bleak, then you can and you will get to the point that you're getting to. Provided, I think I got to put this in there, provided that you continually realize that if it's not happening the way that you want it to happen, it means that something about you has to change.
Okay. I understand.
Something about your comfort zone has to change. If things are not unfolding the way that you want to, that's an indication, not that it's impossible, not that it's difficult, not that you can't do it, but that something about your belief system about yourself has to change, and you have to act that out in a different way. It may mean being more forceful in sales. It may be maybe allowing people to help you. Maybe you're too much of a loner and now you need to work in teams, or maybe just the opposite. You've always worked in teams, and now you need to be more of an independent, maverick. But there's something about the way that you see yourself and see the world and see other people that has to change. And that's not always an easy thing to do, but it means that you have to work on yourself to push yourself continually. The thing that you are most afraid of doing is by definition the thing that you will need to do in order to get where you want to get to.
Yes.
If you think about the thing that you are most uncomfortable doing, speaking in front of groups, bearing your feelings in relationships, forgiving your mom and your dad or whatever, but whatever it is that you have the most trouble doing, opening up to people, letting people help you, whatever it is, there's this whole journey that you're taking is a journey in self-improvement. And once you can identify the thing that you're most afraid of doing or most afraid of having happen to you, then chances are that is the thing that you have to face, confront, and run towards in order for you to get through it, overcome it, and move beyond it. Because if the thing you wanted to achieve was within your comfort zone, you would have had it already.
Yes.
So by definition, this thing that you want to achieve is outside of your comfort zone, so you have to realize that if things are not moving the way you want, there's something that you've been putting off, something that you're not doing, something that you're afraid to do, something that you're too lazy about doing, something that you're gives you the shivers when you think about doing it, that you need to identify and force yourself to make that happen, or else you'll never get to the other side. If you can look at success in those terms, from my example, I wasn't always, I'm still very a very private person, but I never liked being a salesperson, never liked standing out on the street corner and handing out flyers and doing that sort of thing. But I had to, those are things that I have since done in the network marketing company that I was in, behaviors and personality traits and things that I had to develop, realizing that if I didn't do this, then I probably was not going to get to the next level. So for the 2 or 3 years that I was involved in that network marketing company, I pushed myself to do things that I never thought that I could do. And now I'm at this place here where I can do things now, or at least know that I have the ability to do things if I need to. So, but anyway, so that's my long answer.
Thank you.
No problem.
Be honest with you, my problem, my years of codependency towards individuals, my family, and that went into every relationship I had, where I end up being codependent, taking care of the other person, letting them mistreat me. I never thought I was good enough for anything better.
And right.
Now
so,
I realize there's more out there for me, and I deserve better. And It's scary to make that first step. You understand?
Right, right. It is. And there's nothing I can tell you to make it easy. Well, I can tell you that there is still life on the other side. And none of this carries the death penalty. All right? None of this stuff carries a death penalty with it. So you will survive. You'll get to the other side. I didn't mention this in my original story at the beginning of the call, but I mentioned it later that I actually got evicted on 3 separate occasions from 3 separate apartments because my business just wasn't making, I didn't know enough about running a business to really make it successful, and my business income just wasn't enough. So, you know, I actually got evicted. I had to go and live with my friends, sleep on my friend's couch. And the point of all that is that I know now that there is life beyond eviction.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes I say that and it gets a chuckle from the audience. And it's a real serious thing, though, in the sense that one of the things that really paralyzes people from taking that step is that they fear, oh, no, what am I going to do if the business doesn't, you know, make enough money and I get evicted? And now I'm not saying you have to go through that, but you have to be willing to take the risk where that is a possibility.
Yes.
You know, you're on one side of a mountain, you want to get to the other side of the mountain, and you have to walk across a bridge. In order to get to that other side, that other mountain, you have to walk across that bridge. In the process of walking across that bridge, there is the possibility that you could fall over and drop down, you know, in the middle. That's the risk that's involved in going to the other side. There's no, it doesn't mean that it necessarily will happen, but you have to put yourself out there where that is a possibility, or else you'll never get to the other side. Because again, and I'll say it, if it were easy, everyone would be doing it, you know? So,
yes, sir.
So anyway, with that said, I know we could keep going on and on and on,
yes,
but
yes.
I'll just...
I'm trying
so
to find
what,
site, what you said,
yeah,
my girlfriend, my girl, if you want my girlfriend back, or?
Go to, just go to waltgoodridge.com, WALTGOODRIDGE, and click on books, and scroll down. And you'll see.
Let's see, turn website, SL, operation manual, Tao Wall. Yesterday, how to serve.
Should be there somewhere.
Making a Saipan, chicken feathers, Saipan living. If you want my girlfriend, yes, I see it.
Yep, okay. So, let's see. What I'm going to do at this point is just close by inviting you to check out the website at waltgoodridge.com, and you can read some previous articles that I've written. There are some books there that you can download, free excerpts and free chapters. Also, you can email me at walt@passionprofit.com with any questions. Join the mailing list, join the Facebook page, because I will be announcing other workshops and giveaways later on. And let's see, I'll just end now with a particular quote about turning passion into profit. And the quote, which appears in the book, is, if you create and market a product or service through a business that is in alignment with your personality, that capitalizes on your history, that incorporates your experiences, that harnesses your talents, optimizes your strengths, complements your weakness, honors your life's purpose, and moves you towards the conquest of your own fears, there's absolutely no way that anyone in this or any other universe can offer the same value that you do. One of the things that people often worry about is, you know, will my product sell? And the key that I've discovered is that product that you create and sell as a manifestation of your passion has to be an expression of who you are. It's not an expression of what sells. It's not an expression of what the next big thing is. It is something that's an expression of your personality, your history, your experience, your talents, your strengths, your even your weaknesses, and especially your life's purpose. And once you can incorporate all of that into the thing that is your passion, then it is unique and no one else can duplicate it, no one else can take it from you, and you have a unique selling proposition that no one can duplicate. So that is the basis of turning your passion into profit, the basis of achieving the freedom that you want to, the basis of the belief system that I believe can empower you and have you live true to yourself and achieve the freedom that you want. So on that note, I want to thank you for listening into the call, and please do join the mailing list at waltgoodrich.com, and I'll be announcing any future teleconferences and future calls in the next few weeks. Thank everyone for listening in.